This is the Investor Connect podcast program. I'm Hall T. Martin. I'm the host of this show in which we interview angel investors, venture capital, family offices, private equity, and many other investors for early stage and growth companies. I hope you enjoy this episode. Investor Connect is a 501c3 nonprofit dedicated to the education of investors and startups for fundraising. Please consider donating $100 to the program to help others in their investor and entrepreneur journey. You can find the donate button on the investorconnect.org website. Hello, this is Hall Martin with Investor Connect. Today we're here with Guy Reiman, co-founder and partner at EHE Capital. EHE Capital Limited is a highly efficient tech-led private equity organization with a genuine focus on supporting entrepreneurs through their company's high growth stage through to a successful conclusion. Guy, thank you for joining us.
Hi, Hall. How are you?
Great. I'm doing great. Doing great. Looking forward to catching up with you. Where are you calling from today?
So I'm based in Manchester, as you may be able to tell by the accent. I'm in the UK, in the north of England. For anyone that follows the football over here, or soccer as you guys call it, famous for Manchester City and Manchester United football teams. Manchester City have just actually a week ago won the Premier League for the third year running.
Great. So tell us more about your background. What did you do before this?
So I'm a tech guy, so I'm a kind of a geek, I guess, in a nice way. And, you know, I built a software company called Cake Solutions, which I started in 2001, and it was acquired in 2017. Since then, really, I did a couple of years with the acquiring organization. Then kind of I was in the spot that I guess a lot of entrepreneurs who have an exit, then a saturation as to what to do next. And I ended up investing in a few companies that I've worked with in the past that were looking to go for fast growth, as well as working with them. So I kind of worked with probably six, seven companies in that regard. And I also set up two brand new organizations with two different co-founders. The first one is a legal document platform called Guider, which is G-U-I-D-R.legal. We aim to be the largest, most accessible law firm in the world that doesn't employ any lawyers. So we aim to work with smaller to medium-sized law firms to help them digitize their services and compete against the non-legal self-help platforms. So that's one organization. My business partner is a guy called Dave Zampano, based in upstate New York. Yeah, proper lockdown story. Just very quickly, I first spoke to him in October 2019. We decided to move forward and build a platform that kind of fulfilled the vision he'd had for a few years in February 2020. And then obviously March 2020, the world shut down. So I actually met Dave in person for only the second time about 3 months ago. And in the meantime, we've built and launched this amazing legal document platform. And then finally, which I guess is what we're here to talk about today, EHE Capital. So I set that up with my business partner, Gary Fletcher, who is from the funding world. And we set up originally to set out to do private equity a little bit differently. We felt that in many cases, the entrepreneurs were forgotten, not dealt with in the right way when it came to funding. And we wanted to, with our entrepreneurial head on, work with entrepreneurs and help them get the right funding from the right type of investors and invest in those companies ourselves and help those companies grow. We then since pivoted to also add a platform, which is effectively a matchmaking platform. There's a lot more to it than that. We're really leveraging technology to help us make some of the decisions along the way. But ultimately, we want to provide a highly filtered deal flow for our investors. And we also aim to provide the entrepreneurs who are successful and get through our vetting process. We want to provide them with not just one investor that may be interested in them, but several. So the entrepreneurs have a choice of investor, and they can make the right choice for the right reasons, rather than really having no choice or having a choice of one investor, which can be problematic sometimes.
So what's the challenge in starting a business like this?
Well, I guess funding is always a challenge, which is kind of ironic, because that's what we're trying to solve for other companies. Now, fortunately, Gary and I have been successful in our business careers, so we've been able to self-fund this, and we intend to carry on doing that. It's actually a terrible cash flow model, because we quite literally, we really don't make any money until the exit of these companies that we help secure funding. So, you know, really, best 3 years, probably more like 5 years for many companies before they get the exit that they're aiming for.
And so what are you seeing in the way of exits these days? What are you seeing around valuations and the like?
Well, Gary comes from quite a traditional industry. So his background is leisure industry. He's had several successful exits within that industry. He's quite well known in that industry. He sits on the private equity board of a mid-sized private equity organization. He's used to the more traditional type valuations and exits, where it's a sensible multiple on EBITDA. So I come from the mad world of tech, and sometimes there's no rhyme or reason for the multiples and the exit valuations and actually the valuations that entrepreneurs put onto their companies when they're looking for funding. So we try and put, a pragmatic slant on that side of things, and make sure that we believe that the entrepreneurs who are looking for funding are doing so at a realistic valuation and bringing in the right investor as a consequence. So the valuations can be nuts. If you're in the metaverse, in particular at the moment, there is literally no rhyme or reason. But tech valuations have traditionally been very strong, quite often a multiple of revenue as opposed to a multiple of profit or EBITDA, being very strong. It'll be interesting, the world's clearly moving towards, business is going to struggle a little bit over the next couple of years, maybe even recession. And it'll be interesting to see what happens with the valuations when that happens. We're already seeing, the stock price of some of the tech companies falling quite dramatically. My sense is that will continue for a little while before they begin to build back up again. They are, ultimately long-term strong stock options, in my opinion, because it's the tech product companies that are going to lead the world and solve big problems in the world, and the tech-led companies that are going to survive. The companies that don't adopt technology are probably going to be dead by the time 2030 comes around.
Well, there are several companies that are providing platforms in this space. How are you different from your competitors?
Yeah, so we are entrepreneurs ourselves. And although we have a fairly large degree of automation and pretty smart technology within the platform, and we have big plans to carry on improving that and building that over the next couple of years, that in itself will make us pretty unique in the way that we're going to do that. And clearly, I don't want to tell you too much about that, because that might give the game away a little bit. But I think we also understand that the human element is really important here. And I believe that we do a high degree of high quality filtering of the opportunities. And we provide all our investors that we put our companies in front of with, a decent amount of information, not full due diligence, because that's up to them. They're they're the experts in this area, but we provide a high degree of information and filtering on the investment opportunities, so they can, as informed investors, they can make their own decision. We don't make any recommendations. We just do some work and provide them with the relevant information.
So what advice would you give to someone that's entering this space? What do you tell them to do before they jump in?
Well, I mean, if you, I mean, I'll assume that you mean the entrepreneurs looking for funding. Then the biggest issue we have, two big issues. One is normally the quality of the pitch deck. The pitch decks are generally sales decks rather than decks that have been aimed at investors specifically. So they quite often don't tell the story in the way that the investors want to understand the business and the financials in particular. And I think the second sort of major problem we have is often valuations, where there is an unrealistic expectation on the valuation, and we have to really try and guide the entrepreneur and say, look, you know, because of X, Y, and Z, you know, our feeling is that the valuation should be between these two kind of figures. And really it's up to the entrepreneur then as to whether they agree or not, and ultimately whether we put them forward to our investors or not, because it's pointless putting forward a pitch deck with a valuation that is just clearly not realistic and would never pass muster with the investors. We try and gear the entrepreneurs to be as investor ready as possible. We provide them with the pitch deck that, you know, we've helped the entrepreneurs with. We provide them with a report on the directors that we've reached out to a number of websites via their APIs and pulled in all sorts of current information, historical information on all the key team members and the entrepreneurs who have founded the company. We also provide a video of the entrepreneur actually presenting the pitch deck so that the investors very quickly can decide whether it's something they want to look into further.
That's great. So what online information source do you find most helpful in your work?
Well, like I say, we've got this, an AI that goes out and tries to find information from various websites. So, you know, things like TechCrunch, really useful source of information. LinkedIn is a very useful source of information, although the APIs are very limited. Twitter, you can do some sentiment analysis around Twitter. The Companies House in the UK, I'm sure there's a body in the US as well, similar to Companies House, but Companies House is a government organisation that keeps all the records on various companies, the company officials, and the sort of the company accounts and historical accounts and that kind of thing. So, you know, there are many different sources of information, that some of which you've got to pay for, some of which are freely available, and we try and tap into as many of those as possible automatically to produce this report for the investors. So it kind of supplements the information that the entrepreneurs supply through our platform and through their pitch deck.
Well, that's great. So you see a lot of different businesses out there and technologies that are coming up. Aside from the business that you're in now, if you could start a business tomorrow, what would that business be based on new opportunities that are coming up?
Well, to be honest, it's the kind of stuff I'm doing now. If you speak to people, everybody's building a platform at the moment, right? But the reality is that platforms are the future of tech and businesses and making things, efficient. The vision for EHE is to be the largest and most accessible community of investors and entrepreneurs in the world. And we're using technology to manage that. It's effectively a digital community of entrepreneurs and investors. But we also then plug in events, in-person events, and now that we can, and it's been amazing since we have done. We've had several investor events here in the UK this year and last year, with 100, 200 kind of investors and entrepreneurs in the room chatting and doing business. So it's that kind of combination of that hybrid model that we're hearing so much about with hybrid working. And, I think that happens with platforms now, that it's that combination of successful platforms combined both physical and digital. Those are the kind of businesses that I would be looking at in the future and now.
In the Web3 world, next generation internet technology, we're hearing a lot about distributed autonomous organizations for fundraising and other things that similar. What's your take on those? And do you think they will be successful in raising funding in the future?
Yeah, totally. I mean, I've taken part in several networking events across the world in a VR room using an Oculus headset, and actually they're pretty good. I was pleasantly surprised. I've been round a house in the virtual world, a new build that you can walk in and walk around each room and have a look around and that kind of thing. And again, using the sort of the Oculus headset. So, you know, there's plenty of real world practical stuff going on in the metaverse already. Imagine being, you know, being a, let's take Manchester City, my football team over here in the UK. They have a fan base all over the world, as do Manchester United, as do most of the Premier League football clubs. And you can have the best seats in the house on the other side of the world with a VR headset on, which are becoming smaller and smaller and higher quality, and watch the game. And you can turn around and there's people sat next to you. And there might be avatars, there might be actual real life images of the, you know, the top parts of somebody's body, and you can buy the best seats in the house and watch the game from, you know, the favorite spot in the stadium without even being there. So, and another practical use, you know, I talked about the Entrepreneurs Help Entrepreneurs, the EHE events that we run. Imagine having some AR glasses on that as you walk past somebody, it says who they are and what company they work for, whether they're an investor, whether they're an entrepreneur. And just having that information flash in front of you. Imagine them arranging to, you know, you mark on the platform who you want to meet during the course of the evening, and being able to spot them in a crowded room without having ever met them before, because your AR glasses will take you to where they are in the room and that kind of thing. So there's some amazing uses of technology that are being implemented as we speak in the metaverse.
Well, great. Well, you've been running this business for some time. What's one thing your business did that you didn't expect?
Well, we were a pure private equity play to begin with. We wanted to do things differently, effectively playing our own park and the entrepreneurial angle. You know, we are entrepreneurs ourselves. Quite often, the bigger investment organizations aren't. So we wanted to be a bit different. And actually, we still do that, but we pivoted as well to the platform play. So, and actually, we launched that, I think, probably 8 weeks ago now. And we've already had 75 investors sign up for the platform. And I think in the region of 40 pitch decks that have come in that we're currently, they're going through the platform, going through our process, where the, you know, the guys that we have in our team are looking at the you know, the quality of the offering. And the ones that get through, we're working with to fine-tune their presentation ready for the investors. So that was something that we weren't expecting to do 12 months ago, even.
Great. Well, in the last few minutes that we have here, what else should we cover that we haven't?
I think, you know, one of the things, you know, you talked about the, or we kind of touched on early in the conversation about the amount of money you need to launch these things. And actually, to start a business nowadays, you don't need much money at all, in my opinion. You know, you've got plenty of SaaS offerings, software as a service offerings, that for the first part of your, you know, as you set the business up, is free. And it's only when you get to a certain size that they actually start to charge. So you can set a business up operationally using some really smart technology for very little money. And you can be very smart with marketing as well. So you can do what you're doing. You can do podcasts. You know, we do podcasts. I do one for EHE, which is called Extraordinary Entrepreneurs Together. And I do one for Guider, the legal document platform, which is called the Guider Legal Community Podcast. And, you know, I do as many of these kind of things as I can. And the podcasts that we produce internally are then transcribed into blogs, and we push stuff out into the kind of the blog space as well. And then we use all the various social media channels, to the relevant ones, to try and push the message out there. So there's an awful lot of stuff you can do that actually doesn't cost you anything other than your time. So the message for me is that if you've got a great idea, then give it a go and always consider the worst case scenario. Don't be silly about it. Don't put tons of money into it. Try and do things on a shoestring until you get to a certain point where you've proved the concept and you've really got a platform to launch a business properly. But yeah, absolutely, give it a go, because to get started, it's really cheap.
Great. So how best listeners to get back in touch with you?
So my personal email address is my name, which is Guy, G-U-Y, and then Remond, R-E-M-O-N-D. That's guyremond@gmail.com. Or you can get me on my EHE email address, which is Guy, G-U-Y, @EHE.capital. You can find me on LinkedIn. It's got the bio is pretty up to date, and the companies that I'm working with are pretty current as well. So I'm sure you'll be able to find tons of information about me out there if you want. There's several books that I've been involved in or written on Amazon. Again, if you're interested in any of the areas that I'm involved with.
Great. Well, I want to thank you for joining us today. We'll include those in the show notes, and we hope to have you back for a follow-up soon.
Really nice to talk to you. Thank you, Hal.
Investor Connect helps investors interested in startup funding. In this podcast series, experienced investors share their experience and advice. You can learn more at investorconnect.org. Paul T. Martin is the director of Investor Connect, which is a 501c3 nonprofit dedicated to the education of investors for early stage funding. All opinions expressed by Hall and podcast guests are solely their own opinions and do not reflect the opinion of Investor Connect. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as a basis for investment decisions.